Proverbs 14 and 12, Mark 4, 19, and Psalm 119 and 29. We'll have those for you on the overhead on the PowerPoint. And an unusual title for a sermon. I know it didn't sound very spiritual, does it? Oysters, a fish, and a wise old duck. Now, I guess in theory, you could have all those at the same time at a particular meal, but that's not what this is about. This is not about supper. God reminds us. He reminds us in Proverbs 4 and 23. Look at the scripture with me on the PowerPoint. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. And it goes on to say, with all diligence. That means not just haphazardly, but to keep your heart diligently. I believe that God is reminding us to follow Paul's instructions in Philippians 4 and 7. The word says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we've looked at two scriptures. One that says to keep your heart. Another one says to guard your heart. It would seem to be a very clear call to let our hearts stay true to God. A very clear call to stay true to God in our devotion, in our love, in our reliance upon Him, in our commitment to Him. Focusing on His promises, focusing on His Word, His instructions, His examples, and the leading of the Holy Spirit to guard and to keep our hearts right before Him. It's this ideal of keeping and guarding that implies that if we don't keep and guard our hearts, if we don't have a very deliberate and a very purposeful initiative to that initiative, then something could go wrong, couldn't it? There could be some problems. It opens the door for danger in our lives spiritually. It opens the door for deceit that can enter into our hearts. The reality and the truth for all of us as believers is that in our walk of faith, we cannot let our guard down. Hear me this morning. In our walk of faith in this Christian life, we cannot let our guard down. Because if we do, I can assure you it happens almost 100%. We begin to drift. And before you know it, as we drift a little bit away from the Lord, we begin to have other things influence our commitment, influence our heart. We get caught up with some things that become not necessarily sinful, but they're just the wrong priorities. They're the wrong things that keep us away from the main thing. And then our thoughts and our plans and our initiatives and the things that we value begin to be influenced not by God, not by the Holy Spirit, not by His Word, but by our own mind and just the things in the world. So look at our scripture text today. We have three. We have them for you on the PowerPoint. Proverbs 4 and 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seems right. Oh yeah, this seems okay. Well, what does it say? But in the end, it leads to the way of death. That happens today, doesn't it? Absolutely. Mark 4 and 19, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the Word, making it unfruitful. The stuff of life that begins to just fill our lives, and we're having to take care of all these things before you know it, the desires for other things begins to be greater than our desire to be with God. Finally, Psalm 119 and 29, keep me from deceitful ways. Well, there's a prayer. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. Great prayer. Should be our prayer. We break this down today with the first point. The first point is a false heart. Long ago, the Lord Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. That says a lot about the kingdom of heaven, doesn't it? It says about priorities too. In ancient times, men knew the value of pearls. Even hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they knew the value of pearls. As fishermen would discover inside the oyster shells, and they would discover these pearls, and they were rare, and they were in great demand. Everybody wanted to have them because there were so few of them. Yet only a few oysters actually contained a pearl. Perhaps only 1 in 1,000 oysters would have a beautiful pearl in it. And the reason that they had a pearl, by the way, is in the little pearls are formed when a piece of grit penetrates the oyster shell. Once that grit penetrates the oyster shell, then the oyster feels this irritation, and so the suffering creature begins to emit a fluid, and that fluid begins to build up around that little piece of grit that's resulting in that uncomfortableness in the oyster. And it just continues to emit it, and it continues to build up, and it hardens up in a foreign body, and it eventually becomes a pearl. That's when we have pearls. Well, in recent times, the pearl market became flooded. It became flooded with beautiful pearls, and the craftsmen examined the pearls thinking that, well, these must just be fake. They must be imitations. But as they examined them, they realized they're the genuine thing. And finally, the mystery was solved. A group of Japanese merchants had found a way to create a pearl in every single oyster. They would go and take the oysters out of the oyster bed, and it would become like a factory. And they would open every oyster up, and they would put a little BB, like out of a shotgun pellet or something like that, into every one of those oysters. And then they would return all the oysters back to the ocean floor, and it would be just like a little factory going on down there. Every one of those oysters would be creating a pearl in it. And they were real pearls. They were real pearls created by real oysters. Listen to me carefully. They appeared to be perfect specimens, but they had false hearts. See, laboratory tests revealed that in the middle of every one of those pearls was a dark shadow. And once they discovered this dark shadow, they became rejects. And there were dark shadows because those little BB pellets had been put into all those pearls. Well, wealthy patrons, they didn't want those cultured pearls. That's, by the way, where that comes from, cultured pearls. They wanted the genuine thing. See, these cultured pearls were really hypocrites. They professed to be what they were not. On the outside, they were beautiful to see, but their hearts were made of either lead or glass. Sometimes people are like that. Sometimes people are like that. They want to appear as if they're valuable pearls, when at the same time, beneath the surface lies a heart that is unchanged. Or perhaps a heart that has grown dark as it drifted away from Jesus. There's a lot of folks that have morals that are beyond reproach. They keep God's commandments. They live exemplary lives. They go to church. But it is so easy to be deceived. We will never be good enough for heaven on our own merits. No matter how much we attend church, no matter how much we read the Bible, until a man is changed in his heart by the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, until a man is changed into his heart and made new by that work of Christ, till that person is born again, as Jesus called it, only then can the heart be right. Only then can we be assured of a place in His eternal kingdom. Oh God, help us not to have false hearts. Help us not to live a life making it look as if it's one way when really deep inside it's something totally different. Let the very thing that's in our heart, the joy and the love and the power of Christ in us, let that flow out of us so those around us can see that man or that woman's got something special. And it is. It's the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ in us. And it takes us to the second point today, a beautiful hypocrite. A beautiful hypocrite. The Great Barrier Reef off of Australia is reported to have incredible cliffs of coral. They have multicolored, beautiful fish and fascinating seabirds and amazing sea life. Also found in this same area is an incredible sea plant. Of a beautiful sea plant known as the anemone. Now, this anemone is like a small bush. Its branches move with the flow of the water very gently. Its appearance is an appearance of something like a bush of coral. It's just gorgeous. Along its soft, spongy branches, though, are many deadly spikes full of poison that can paralyze a fish that gets too close to it. Well, the anemone, it lives off other fish. It eats other fish. But this is how it does it. It partners with a most unusual fish that is immune to the venom of the anemone. So this partner fish, or we call it the decoy fish. Some of you guys that are hunters know what I'm talking about. We have decoys. You know, if you're duck hunting, you get a decoy out. When I was turkey hunting, we used to have some decoys out. That's to lure the other folks to come in. Well, this fish that is immune to the poison of the anemone, it's kind of like the decoy fish. It plays and rows and frolics in and around that beautiful anemone and its beautiful wavy structure, like it's just having a wonderful time and enjoying itself and maybe acting like he's living the good life. And its movements cause other fish to want to come check it out. And as the other fish come into that anemone, it strikes those other fish with its venom, and it kills them. And then the anemone and the decoy fish, they have a wonderful meal eating that fish that came in there because that fish was deceived. See, the fish and the plant were bewitchingly beautiful. And you'd never realize that what they really were offering was a terrifying death. But they looked so beautiful. Oh. I've seen men and women, maybe you have too, men and women that seem immune to the disastrous poison of sin. They seem to be living their lives as if, even though it's in sin, like it's having no negative impact upon them at all. They exist in the embrace of the things of the world. They exist in the very things that are not pleasing to God at all. And often good people see this. They're attracted to the decoy, if you know what I'm saying. They're attracted to those decoy souls. Before you know it, they begin to slip away from all that God has done for them. They begin to slip away from all that Jesus has meant to them. They begin to lose that sense of love and passion for serving Jesus. And they come closer and closer to the clutches of evil as they pursue temporary pleasures and things in life that are a lot of fun, that look wonderful. You see, the allure and the excitement of a life that shows somebody else having such a great time, when in reality it's a life where Jesus is no longer a priority, where Jesus doesn't mean anything in their heart. And those folks that see that, that yield to that, they are deceived as they yield to the temptations. In the case of the anemone, many fish die because they draw too close to its deceit and its beauty and what seems so wonderful. And in like manner, many good people will perish if they fail to realize and recognize the hypocrisy and the attraction of sin that looks so good, but it's deadly. We saw it earlier in Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. You see what we're talking about today? Guarding our hearts. Keeping our hearts. The third point today is a wise old duck. And that doesn't sound very, you know, big deal, does it? Doesn't sound real spiritual. Stay with me this morning, all right? The Shetland Islands, which are just north of Scotland, the Shetland Islands are considered some of the most beautiful, unspoiled areas of Great Britain. Some of the islands are uninhabited, with only wild birds and other animals as their occupants. But one day, a farmer who was making his life on a farm in one of the Shetland Islands, this farmer found a wild duck's nest. But the mother duck wasn't there. She might have been off hunting for food, but the nest was there, but the mother duck was gone. And he remembered that in his barnyard, there was an old hen that was sitting on an empty nest. And he had a thought. You know, I can make some money with these duck eggs, because I can raise them up into little ducks, and as they mature into ducks, I can take them to market, make a profit. And I bet this old hen will sit on these eggs. So he gathered up all those duck eggs that mother duck had left behind. He took them home, and before you knew it, that old hen was sitting right up there on those duck eggs. Well, those duck eggs hatched. And amazingly, all those little freshly hatched ducks followed right along with that little mother hen. While those little ducks followed her everywhere all over the barnyard, and she was just the perfect little mother. They just bonded with her immediately. But the farmer noticed that occasionally a wild duck, the same wild duck, would fly over the barnyard, and he seemed to be checking everything out. And before you know it, it seemed like almost every day this wild duck would fly over his barn to get a closer view of things. What was happening was that that mother duck that lost all her little eggs was flying over that farm, and she was looking at her little ducklings following a little chicken. And she's watching the whole thing, and she just continued to watch and wait as her little family was growing up. Well, they grew up, and soon as they were adult ducks, the farmer was going to take them to market for a nice profit. He just couldn't wait. There's going to be a great profit for him. But the watchful mother duck one day spread her wings and flew over that barnyard. And suddenly this mother duck uttered the cry of a wild duck as she flew over. And instantly her offspring, hearing the cry of a wild duck, they lifted up their heads. The call sounded again. It was irresistible. And before you know it, suddenly those young ducklings had taken flight and they were following their rightful mother to freedom. The farmer was watching the whole event. He slammed his gate with great annoyance, thinking about all the profit he had lost. For you and me, spiritually speaking, an unkind hand took us away from our right parent long before we were born. Even though we may have lost sight of our Heavenly Father, He still sees us. He's flying over our barnyard, so to speak, every day. Are you following me? He still sees us, even though we might have lost sight of Him. And I'm going to tell you something. If we continue to pursue what is an imitation, then we'll lose sight of who our Father is. We'll turn from decision and behaviors, though. We'll turn from those wrong decisions and wrong behaviors if we'll just hear the call of the Father and follow Him. Because I'm going to tell you, if we stay in the barnyard, so to speak, we're going to miss heaven. Because God is calling us out of the sin. He's calling us to the right home. He's saying, I'm your Father. This is what is real. Not what you think is real. Those young ducklings, can't you just see it? Responding immediately to the wild call of that mother duck. And they found freedom. And they found happiness. The Scripture tells us today if you will hear His voice. Oh God, help us hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Oh, let us hear the voice of the Father. Let us hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. The problem is that our hearts can become so insensitive. Our hearts can become so numb or dull to God's call. The Bible reminds us in Mark 4:19, we read it earlier, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Or they come in and let us, before you know it, we don't hear the call of God. We're so caught up in it all. We don't hear it when He calls our name. And He says, remember me, I'm your Father. I'm your rightful parent. I'm your Creator. I'm the one that loves you. Follow me. So this morning, all of us should pray. All of us should have this prayer that we looked at in Psalm 119 and verse 29. We have it again. Again, we're talking about guarding and keeping our hearts. Do you believe we need that? Oh, we do. We need it more than I have the ability to communicate today. We need it more than I can say to you how important it is that we keep and guard our hearts so there's this fresh communion, there's this fresh sense of the presence of God and His Son Jesus in our lives every day. We can feel it. We know it. He ministered to us because we guard our hearts and we keep our hearts. Amen. Tender and open to the move of the Holy Spirit. This prayer should be our prayer. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me. That means, God, when I mess up, be gracious to me. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me. Teach me your law. Show me your way, God. I'll never get it right if I don't hear from you. I'll never have the right answer. Show me your way. Teach me your law. May God help us by His Holy Spirit. Oh, may God help us to keep our hearts with all diligence. Purposefully, diligently, God help us to treasure what we have, protect it, to keep it, to guard it. It is the most precious thing, is it not? It is the best thing we'll ever have in this life. That's that relationship with our Father because of Jesus and His death on Calvary. Keep your hearts. Keep our hearts, God, with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. What's springing out of your heart today? I'm going to tell you what's coming out of your heart are the things that you prioritize. What's coming out of your heart are the things that mean the most to you. How much does God mean to you? How much does Jesus mean to you today? Well, my prayer is, may the Holy Spirit search us. May we be yielded to the Holy Spirit here in this place this morning and search our hearts and hear the call of God. Amen? Don't get left behind in that barnyard. Don't be following that little mother chicken. Hear the call of the rightful parent. Oh, God, help. Oh, Father, instill in our hearts today. Oh, by your Holy Spirit, help us to see and understand how important it is that we keep and guard our hearts, that we don't drift away and have a numbness or a dullness in our spirit, that there's a passion and a fire within us of joy and hope and love for Jesus and for all of eternity, for what God promises us as His children. Holy Spirit, help us to see those things that will harm us, the deceit of the enemy in our lives, those things that seem right, but in the end lead to death. We need your help, Father, by your Spirit. Help us to have that prayer in our hearts. Guard and keep them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, when you... when you see a friend this week or later, a relative or a neighbor, somebody, you say, well, what's going on at your church? And you say, well, our pastor's preaching about oysters and fish and ducks. It's wonderful. Oysters and fish and ducks. There's some good meaning behind those words. Some great examples for us. And I pray that you'll take them to your hearts today. Would you please stand with me this morning? I can't tell you how much Sherry and I are glad to be back. I can't tell you how much I am thankful that God gave me the opportunity and Sherry the opportunity to serve you as pastors in this church as we serve Him. Because our commitment is to God. Our commitment is to be true to what He has placed in our hearts, and that means to love you and to serve you. And that's our passion. That's our commitment to you as we make that commitment to God. What a blessed, blessed man and woman we are to be here as your pastors. I can't say thank you enough for the privilege of being here with you. What an honor. How blessed we feel. We thank you for it. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're in God's house today? Amen. 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 Praise God. He's still God, Doug told us. He's still God. Jehovah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you today for your blessings. By the Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us be watchful and on guard for our hearts. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure and welcome our first-time and returning guests. Make them feel welcome. Tell them you're glad they're here, and let them know you love them and that you want to see them again. Amen. And just be a blessing to them. Marty, why don't you dismiss us in prayer today, brother?